And you didn't think I could do it, did you? You can't hear me?
Turn that mic down, that other mic.
This one?
Yeah.
As soon as you tell me how to turn this one? You're just going to turn it down this way?
You're okay. I'm good at adjusting.
Can't you hear me now? Yeah, because I had a lot of feedback from myself. Okay. If you haven't guessed, we're in Judges. We're still in the first chapter. I hope we'll finish it up. And then we'll go ahead and... Judges 1 is really kind of important because it... gives a good introduction to the judges. When we start talking about the judges and everything like this with it, it's good to have a good background into it. And I think... Judges 1, and really actually Judges is the second chapter 2, but Judges 1 is a very good introduction to the background about the judges. We left off about verse 20. I'd like to go back to verse 19. So in verses 19, 20, and 21, we find, so the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers, and that's Judah. They drove out the mountaineers, the people of the mountains. But they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland, because they had chariots of iron. Verse 20, and they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had said. Then he expelled from there the three sons of Anak. Verse 21, but the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwelt with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. All right, in verse 19 it says, so the Lord was with Judah. What does that mean? The Lord was with Judah. Yeah, the Lord approved this with it. Was that all to it, though? Did Judah have to do anything? What did Judah have to do? Do what?
They still had to go up against the Canaanites.
Okay. Were they with God? Okay. Well, in verse 19 it says, so the Lord was with Judah, and Judah drove out the mountaineers. It was not only the Lord. It was supposed to be that Judah had faith in the Lord, that he was going to help them out. Because did the Lord tell them that he would help them? Yeah, he did. And he had told them, he said, we did the promised one, and the promise was that God was in Deuteronomy, I believe. And what chapter was the one where Joshua? That's the one I was thinking. I just threw a blank. The book before the judges, Joshua. He had a talk with the people and told them and said that the Lord was going to be with them and to help them and to take them. But the problem was that Judah was going to have to help the Lord. And he tells them, said, they drove out the mountaineers. Okay, we had talked about the mountaineers, the mountains, the people in the mountains, the region. Judah was in three regions, the mountains, the lowlands, and the south. And he talked about the ones in the mountain, that's the one that Judah took care of. But those in the lowlands, which is the foothills, we call them, are the ones between the north and the south. They couldn't drive them out. Why? And it tells you. Because they had chariots of iron. Judah was afraid. Why were they afraid? They had the Lord. If you got the Lord, if the Lord's on your side with that, why should you be afraid? And they shouldn't be afraid. If they had a faith in there that they should have, they should, would be no problem. If I got the Lord with me, I don't care what the lowland, whether they got the iron or the chariots of iron or not, it doesn't make any difference. Which one's stronger? The Lord or chariots of iron? Well, the Lord is. And he says, you know, there's nothing to be afraid about this. The Lord is the strongest one. You shouldn't be afraid of this. Then he talks about in verse 20, well, Moses had promised them in Joshua, the 14th chapter, verse 20, he had promised that Moses had promised to Caleb that he would get Hebron. And it says in verse 20, and they gave Hebron to Caleb as Moses had said. Moses had told him, says, Hebron belongs to Caleb. Moses had told him that. Then he expelled from there the three sons of Anchor. You see different pronunciation of that one, but however you want to, whatever. But if you go back to verse 10, you see that his three sons were killed. So he's talking about, when he's talking about expelled, he tells that they were killed. The three sons. And who is Anka or Anka? Y'all remember? They what?
Giants.
They were giants. You would think, you know, here that they would be afraid of them too. Like the lowland they had chariots of iron. Do you think that the the three sons, these giants, would be afraid? They would be afraid too, because these are huge men with it. But they killed them. But Moses had told Caleb that you can have Hebron.
Right. But that was,
yes.
That the territory he had explored.
Yes. So yeah, that's right. He had explored it. He had spied it out.
He knew that because he and Joshua had faith in God, they knew they could take the land.
There you go.
They were not intimidated by the sons of David, even though they were giants.
Yes. They knew they could take it. Who was the two that said that they could take it? All right, Joshua and Caleb said that they could take the land. Is the promised land is for us. God said we can take these lands. And so Moses promised it that Caleb can have Hebron. And he knew that these giants was nothing compared to God. But you go to verse 21, it says, but the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites. They didn't have the faith. But the children of Benjamin didn't. But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabit Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is actually made up of three different parts of it. So the Jebusites that dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. He says, now, even up to this day, up to right now, the Jebusites is living with the children of Israel. And it shouldn't be. If they had a faith in it, they could have took it. But they didn't. With it. So God had promised these Israelites this land. God would take care of his agreement, his covenant, he would take care of. Now it's up to the children to take care of their part. The children, God had a faith in it. They've got to believe that they can take these because they got God. But they don't. They don't have the faith with that. Any other questions or comments upon that? 21st, those three verses. Excuse me. All right, let's go to start now in verse 22. Let's go down to 26. And the house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. So the house of Joseph sent men to spy out Bethel. The name of the city was formerly Luz. All right, it's called Bethel now, but it was called Luz at the time. And when the spies saw a man coming out of the city, they said to him, please show us the entrance to the city, and we will show you mercy. So he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword. But they let the man and all his family go. And the man went to the land of the Hittites, built a city, and called its name Luz, which was the name that Bethel used to be called, which is the name of this to this day. All right. Who is the house of Joseph? All right. That's the house of Joseph. Joseph, how many How many children?
Two sons.
All right, two. Ephraim and Manasseh. And so they become the house of Joseph. And they went to spy out Bethel, the city. And when the spies saw a man coming out of the city, they said to him, please show us the entrance to the city, and we will show you mercy. Okay. You would think, all right, man coming out of the city, well, you would know the entrance to it because he's coming out of the city. But what that's referring to is, what were the cities? How were they built?
They were strongholds. They had walls about them.
They were strongholds, is what she said. They were fortified. They had walls around them with it. And so that's the reason why he asked him the question is, how do we get in? How do we get into this city? Excuse me. And so the man says, I can tell you how. And the reason why I can tell you is, I can show you this, is to tell you that there are weak spots in the city. And how they, what they did was that either there was a secret entrance to the back way or to the side. They were secret entrance that came in either from the back side, or they were hidden, or from the side they were hidden also. And so he tells them, he says, I can show you the weak spots in the city. And he says, please show us, the spies now says, please show us the entrance, the secrets, how to get into this. How do we get into this city? He says, if you will tell us, we will show you mercy. You see anything wrong with this? Excuse me, I didn't.
They went against God's will because God told them to destroy everyone.
Yeah, but what about this? I get the point, but what about this guy? Is he a traitor?
What?
Is he a traitor, the man?
Traitor?
Is he, yeah, to save his life?
Yeah, he is a
traitor. Yeah.
Kind of the same as Rahab and Jericho, right?
Right. He's given up the city to save his life and his family's life. And he tells them at the end here, he says in verse 25, so he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword. Do you know what the edge of the sword means? I did not know this. It doesn't mean the edge of the sword. Huh? Edge of the sword is, when I hear the terminology, edge of the sword, I think somebody is slashing. Edge of the sword means you thrust them. Yeah, you do it in the battle thing. Is you don't slash, you go in. And so that's what it is. And I always assume that when you edge of the sword, the edge of the sword is how they fought these people with the edge of the sword. This is the side part of the sword. But that's not how you fight. You thrust them through. And that's what he's talking about. You thrust them through. You kill them. And that's what they did. They struck the city. They struck it. They stabbed them. not with the edge, but just stabbing them. And here the thing is, and he let the man and all his family go. Yes.
Knock them out of the way. Then later on, when the Arabic people and the Muslim people, if they had gotten rid of all those desert nomadic people, I wonder if that would have made a difference in the Muslims today.
I understand what you're talking about. I understand exactly what you're talking about. I have no idea. I really cannot speculate on that one. I can speculate, but I can't tell you the answer to it. No.
But there were plenty of other descendants of Ishmael.
Yeah.
Just in the promised land, but all around. So, and God said he could drive them out and kill them. So they could have just driven them out, and they went somewhere else to live. And
yes.
Still there.
Yeah, but there were other ones in this territory, but there were in other parts of region or territory. But even if you do that, which God told them that they would not do it. God knew that they wouldn't do it. But, all right, but
to your point about a back door or a side door, they saw the man coming out of the
yes.
city, so they saw him come out of the main entrance.
Right.
So they wanted another entrance because the main entrance was right before them. So they wasn't asking about that one because they saw him coming out of it, mm-hmm. as the scripture says. And so yes, they were looking for a back door or a side door or a secret entrance where they could stealthily get their army in and then put the city to the sword, as it were.
Yeah. They knew that this was not, if this was the main entrance, but this is not the way you were going to come in. If you were going to destroy the city, this is not the way to do it.
No. Underground worlds pretty much see that all strongholds with castles.
Well, these were spies, and so they had been watching. The thing is, and they knew, okay, that this was the main entrance, but they knew that this was not the only entrance into this place. With it, there was other ways to get into it. Well, well, these are secret entrances, and so they're not really well established that they were known. They were secret entrances to them. So they were wanting to say, can you show us how to get into this?
We want the back door, don't we?
Yeah. We want to break in. And just like a thief is, he's not going to come in a lot of times the front door. He's going to try to come in some other way. And so that's what they're looking for. And so they've been watching this place. These are spies. And so they're trying to find a way to get into the place to find out how can we get into this place, this walled area, so that we can come in and destroy them with it. And the people, they knew that there was another way into this place. This was not the only way to get into this place. So they were looking for the secret, and where it could be the back door, or it can be the front door, or whatever, or it can be the side door. There can be different ways that it can come in to this place. And they were looking for that. To see if they can find the right way to sneak into the place. Because they're wanting to kill the people. And they know that coming into the main entrance is not the way to do it. And they let the man go, though. Here they knew he was a traitor, just like Rahab. And he said, if you let to go, he said, they're going to let the family go with them. And then he says in verse 26, and a man went to the land of the Hittites, built a city, and called its name Luz, which used to be called Bethel. And so, and they kept it, that name, Luz. This man in this territory called it Luz, and it is to this day is still called Luz. Any other questions or comments upon that? Okay. I didn't go the right way, did I? There we go. Verse 27. All right, 27 to verse 32. However, Manasseh, and I'm not going to read all this. There's a bunch of names in there, and I'm not going to read all those names. But I want to show you something here. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants. In verse 28, Israel was strong. And he put the Canaanites under tribute. But did not completely drive them out. Why didn't they drive them out?
Well, we got up there
and slain. Now, we got the answer up there. Nothing demonstrates the gross wickedness of God's people any better than their treatment of the Canaanites, whom they mercilessly enslaved, or put them as slaves, put them as servants, for their own advantage, wealth, and prosperity. That's what he's talking about. They put the Canaanites under tribute, or they put them as slaves, or they enslaved them. Why would they want to put them under, or to enslave them? Huh?
can't.
Follow the money. Follow the money.
Well, it's also that the conqueror often enslaves the conqueror. You know, it's a retribution, if you would. And too, they're coming from, they're a generation removed from slavery themselves. Their families have been slaves in Egypt.
Yes.
So, you know, turnabout's fair play to them.
And another point about this is probably the second or third generation, and they don't know the story about them being in captivity in Egypt. Because after 1 year, a generation, 2 years, a generation, they don't know. They don't know anything about that. They haven't been taught that. Because the children had forgot, of Israel had forgot to teach their children. And so you got the second and the third generation now that do not know about the captivity that they went through with the Egyptians. They don't know it. They don't know what God did for them. These people don't know that. Then the other thing is, why would you want to put these Canaanites and to enslave them? Put them as your servants. Why would you want to do that?
So you wouldn't have to till the soil and raise the crops and harvest the crops.
Yeah. Prosperity. They got fat. Yeah. As you go. Judges 1 here is trying to teach you what's going to come down the road. What did the judges do for the children of Israel?
Try to pull them back to be obedient to God.
All right. Pull them back. Get them back to God. Got them back to God. Excuse me. Get them away from the prosperity. Get them back from being the fat of the land. Get them back to serving God. And what did they do? They did it. They did it again, over and over and over again. And they got a new judge that had to take care of it to get them to get them back straight again. They backslid it again. So a guy got to get a new judge here to help him out this way. And that's what it is. And what did they first have? They what they're doing right now is what they start of what's going to happen to them. God has already told them, prophesied what's going to happen to them. Joshua told them that what's going to happen. And look, it's happening. Here's the first part of it. You're going to put these people under slaves. They're going to pay you tribute. They're going to pay you money. Understand this? They're going to pay you money to serve you so that you can stay in the land. Sherry?
Thank you.
they're going to find out that the Israelites, women are going to marry the Canaanites, and the Canaanites are going to marry the Canaanites would marry the... I'm getting all messed up here. Again, the Canaanites will be marrying the Israelites, and the Israelites would be bearing that. Then what that is? Wait a minute. We don't. Who is this God? And look at the God that the Canaanites got. What he can do and everything like that. And so, little by little by little, they're gone. They're going to be, and it starts right here, when they come into the land. And that's what they're talking about when they're coming in here. They did not. Verse 28. Israel was strong, but that he put the Canaanites under tribute. In verse 29, nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Verse 30, nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalol, so that the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put under tribute. Verse 31. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants. Verse 32. So the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Did not do it. And we'll start with verse 33. Almost made it.